When I was a boy, I can remember playing a game with my father. And in the evening, when my dad came home from work and I heard the key turn in the door, I would just have come running down the stairs, and I would have just leaped out into midair, taking off 3 or 4 steps from the bottom, because I knew that my dad was going to be there to catch me. And then one day my mother pulled me aside. My dad couldn't bring himself to do it. And she said, "Stephen, you really can't play this game with your father any longer." And as you can imagine, I was devastated. "Why not?" She said, "It's not that he doesn't love you, because he does. It's not that he won't always be there for you, because he will. It's just, you're nearly 40 years of age now, and he's approaching 70. And his arms are not as strong as they once were." And I think that is the great need for us as human beings, is for strength, is for power. Most people I know, regardless of background, even religious tradition, most people have pretty good intentions for the kind of lives that they want to lead. We know the kind of people that we want to be. We think about the kind of relationships that we'd like to savor and enjoy. We want good things, but we just lack the power, don't we? Life inevitably trips us up. And I've engaged over the years in conversations with many, many people who have shared with me their struggles, their anxiety, some even overwhelmed by the circumstances of their lives. They're broken. Their souls are shattered. But they've learned how to hide it. No one sees their wounds. I don't walk around the streets of Garva with my wounds visible for everybody to see. I internalize them, and I think we're all the same. They've learned how to function, how to manage, how to simply exist. But internally, their souls are in turmoil, and they're just desperate for peace, for hope, for strength, for a power to survive. You were not created just to simply exist. You were not created just to simply survive. You don't have to be defined by the challenge or the brokenness of the particular moment that you're living through. You don't have to be defined by those wounds or your pain. And we all have dreams and we all have plans, and often they're quite good, but we don't live them out. Very few of my dreams are ever realized. We lack the power to be who we want to be and do what we want to do. That just seems to be the human condition. And I want for a few moments just this morning to think about the only hope capable of sustaining a human life through the challenges and the complexities and the circumstances of our lives. And that hope is that Jesus Christ is risen. I want to talk for a few moments about the power of the resurrection today, and something quite remarkable that the Bible claims about that power. And that's what I want you to think about and to reflect on. Because the reality is for us today that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us, human beings, you and I, in the challenges and the brokenness and the disappointments of our lives. That is the reality. Do we believe that? Do we have any understanding just of the significance of that? That's the claim that I want to think about for a few moments today. Paul put it like this when he was writing to a little group of believers over 2,000 years ago. This is what he says: "How unbelievably great is his power to help those who believe in him, the same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And I want to talk about that power. Think about that power in the lives of ordinary people. In the midst of our circumstances, ordinary people just like you and I. And I want to illustrate it, try to illustrate it by thinking about that narrative that we read there, David, and just walk through some of his highs, some of his lows, but how he met God in the midst of the confusion of the moment he was living through, and how he ultimately found strength and power in God to survive the challenge of that moment. So, as I said there, at the beginning of David's life, quite remarkable things were happened to him. He was a man who possessed extraordinary gift and potential. And Samuel actually sought out his family and anointed David. Great things were going to happen in this young man's life. And for a while they did. I mean, sometimes for you and I, the reality is that life is as we would wish it to be. That can happen on occasions. David ends up, he goes to Saul's court, as I said. Saul just loves him. He becomes his favorite musician, and he's friendly with Jonathan, and he marries his daughter, Saul's daughter. And as a warrior, he just was wildly successful. Everything he touched turned to gold. He led a charmed life. But then an interesting thing happened to him on the way to the top. He lost it all. It all fell apart. And one by one, all those wonderful things that he had been given or achieved were stripped from him. He became so successful that Saul was envious of him and tried to kill him. He picked up a spear one day and actually tried to kill David. So David is running for his life. Just try to think for a moment about the context of his life, where he has been, what he's going to go through. So this is David. So he loses his job, he loses his income, he loses his security. I don't know, maybe someone here knows what that feels like. It's a difficult place to be. He loses his marriage. Saul gives his daughter to be married to someone else. He loses his family. He loses his position. Samuel dies, so he's never going to be mentored or guided by this great man who would have such an influence in his life. I'm sure you'll agree that the outlook looks pretty bleak, doesn't it? He's really struggling. You think things couldn't get any worse, but they do get worse, because Israel, his home, becomes such a hostile place towards him that he has to flee. And as we read in the text, so he now loses his home, he loses his language and his culture. He's got nowhere to go. And he's so desperate that, as we read in the text, that he runs to this place outside Israel called Gath, which is essentially his enemies, the Philistines. That's where Goliath's from. So he's so desperate that he feigns insanity to try to get them to take pity on him. And the king, of course, recognizes him and doesn't want anything to do with him. So he gets rid of him. And he's living in this cave. This is David, who had once been in a palace, who had wealth, who had power, who had fame, who had security. He had a future. He was the golden boy. And now all of a sudden that is gone from him. He's got no money. He's got no friends. He's no home. He's no job. He's no mentor. He's running for his life. And he's living in a cave, the cave of Adullam, the cave of the doomed. And I want to just pause for a moment and think about the cave. Because the reality for any one of us this morning in this church building, that is an environment that we can find ourselves in very easily, because you don't need me to tell you that the seeming normality of our lives can be shattered in an instant. The rug can be pulled out from underneath us at any moment. And the cave is where we end up when all the props and all the scaffolding and all the achievements in our lives get stripped away. The cave is where any of us can end up when you thought you were going to have a great life, accomplish great things, have a great family. But all of those hopes turn to dust when it becomes very clear that life is not going to just turn out the way that any of us planned. A cave is a place where dreams go to die. And I don't know about the complexities of your particular circumstance, but maybe the reality is, for someone here today, that as you sit here, you are in a cave. There's a circumstance in your life that is just consuming you. You can't see past it. You worry about it all day. You can't sleep at night because of it. It's literally draining the life out of you. And this morning you find yourself in a cave. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you've lost a marriage to desertion, to divorce, to death. Maybe you just wanted a relationship so, so badly and it has never materialized. Maybe you have been in a relationship and it was so disappointing and devastating. You were betrayed in it. You find yourself this morning in a cave. Anybody ever make a bad decision? Am I the only one that's ever made a bad decision?